the believer, the follower of Jesus Christ, is called to walk in holiness, to walk in purity and sexual purity.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
Well, this was a hard week, wasn't it, to watch the news, I think. I found it very gripping, what was happening in Washington there with the Kavanaugh hearing and the concerns about that, the charges and the response to that. And I know that it brought up many, many powerful emotions. It was difficult to watch. Great sympathy and sadness, but also anger and politics and all of this. And it was a hard thing to watch. And I know that what I'm about to say might sound an awful lot like politics and a well-known political statement, but that isn't how I mean it. Because I figure we're all getting pretty tired of politics these days, aren't we? But the utterly disgraceful and sickening events in Washington this past week, I think do deserve biblical comment. And so that's what we're going to see here today in our text. Our text touches on that issue. So here is a political statement that I have for you about it. Do I have your attention now? Maybe not. Build the wall. Who saw that coming? Build the wall. No, wait a minute. So what do you mean? What? Build the wall? What does the border with Mexico have to do with the Kavanaugh confirmation circus? And the answer is absolutely nothing. Because I'm not talking about that kind of a wall. That's a whole nother issue. I'm not talking about that kind of wall at all. I'm talking about a different kind of wall. I'm talking about a wall that each of us needs to build. It is both an individual wall and it is a group wall or corporate wall. It is a wall that you and I must build into our lives. And it is a wall that the church must build into our lives together. I'm talking about a wall of protection called holiness. A wall of holiness, a wall of purity. And so with what we saw, that is another issue there, but it touches upon the reality of a huge problem in our society. Again, whatever you might think of that and all that happened here, I'm not here to comment on that in particular, but I am here to say that it touches on a very real and serious problem in our society and also the church. And that is the abuse, the pain, the scandal, and the destruction that sexual immorality has brought on our society. We've seen the abuse in our society, the rise of the Me Too movement, long overdue. We see that in our culture, in places of power and influence in Washington and Hollywood. But unfortunately, we've also seen it in the church. We've seen it in the scandal within the Catholic Church, the Catholic priest abuse scandal. We've seen it in the pain of the victims and their families. We've seen it in the pain of faithful men and women of the church who must watch all of this unfurl, even in the church. But for all of the pain of the Catholic priest abuse scandal, we cannot sit back here and say, oh, well, that's only a problem there, over there, because it's not. It's a problem in Protestant churches as well. And it's not just those, you know, those mainline liberal Protestant churches. No, it's a problem in Bible-believing churches as well, Bible-teaching churches as well. While the scandal may be a little different, it's still immorality. That we have a problem in Protestant churches with sexual immorality and abuse. Scandal not only in the member, but among pastors. We just recently saw, I'm sure many of you have seen it, the news that came out of Willow Creek Church with the founder there, Bill Hybels. I'm not here to beat up on him, but I am here to say that is yet another example of the extent and the seriousness of this problem. We have a problem in the church with sexual immorality. It's a personal problem. It's a problem in our families. It's a problem in our churches. It's a problem in our society. It's a problem in our world. It's this destruction that is wrought by sexual immorality. It's personal destruction. It's political destruction. It's church destruction, societal destruction, premarital sex, adultery, homosexuality, pornography. We have a huge problem with pornography in our society. The statistics are stunning. The percentage of people that are involved in pornography used to be that it was something that was, you know, you had to make a special trip to the bad side of town to a seedy store to find that stuff. And now, where is it? Everywhere. It's one click away on the computer, isn't it? And it's not just a problem out there. It's a problem in the church. Huge problem in the church. So this abuse, this pain, this scandal, this destruction is in the church as well as society. This pain is here in this church body, that there are some in our church family who have been touched by the pain of abuse and sexual immorality, by the grip of destruction, of the destruction of pornography. So we need to build the wall of holiness. Holiness is the wall that stands against the abuse, the pain, the scandal, and the destruction. So I want to continue in our series in 1 Thessalonians, Hope in Trying Times. Walking in purity, 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 1 through 8. Where there we see that the believer, the follower of Jesus Christ, is called to walk in holiness, to walk in purity, in sexual purity. Before we look at our passage there, I want us to get a little context here. Paul, Timothy, and Silas, they had ministered to the people in the church of Thessalonica. They had taught them. They had spent some time with them teaching them the gospel, the message of hope in Jesus, but then also how Jesus calls us to live as his followers then. Remember that Great Commission? Jesus didn't just say, go out into the world and convert people. What else did he say? He said what? Make disciples of them, teaching them to obey what? All I have commanded you, all I have taught you. And so that's what they were doing. They were preaching the gospel for salvation, but then they were teaching them as well all that Christ had commanded. Our faith isn't just about forgiveness, isn't just about redemption, forgiveness of sin. It's also about how then we now shall live, right? The gospel isn't just forgiveness, it is walking in holiness then, and the good news that that is. So Paul and Timothy and Silas had spent time with them. They had had to leave there because of the opposition. Paul had sent Timothy to go back and see how they were doing. He was heartened to hear that they had been walking faithfully. So now Paul is writing back then to encourage them and to address some questions that they had as well. But here then, he says, starting in verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians 4, finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. That you abstain from sexual immorality. That each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. So in this section that we'll see today and next week here, we are being encouraged to what? To do this more and more. What's the this? Well, the this there is walking in faithfulness and growing in their faith, growing in their obedience to Christ's commands, to do this more and more. Namely here, walking in purity today and walking in love that we'll see next week. So do this more and more. Walk in purity and walk in love. So first then for today, walking in purity. First we see God's command. We see God's command, God's will, and God's warning here. God's command, God's will, and God's warning. First of all, God's command. This. Keep going and keep growing. Keep going and keep growing. Don't quit. And keep growing in Christ-like character, in holiness. Keep growing in obedience to his commands. Are we ever going to attain in this life to that place of perfect holiness and righteousness? No, we won't. Will we ever attain perfect holiness and righteousness? Yes, in his presence. We already have perfect holiness and righteousness right now as a gift. That belongs to you. It's a gift given to you by God through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's yours right now. But we are not yet what we shall be, are we? And so until then, you and I are called to put into practice, to live according to what we already are in Christ. See, we're not called to be something we're not. We're called to be what we are. Have you ever thought about it that way? We're not called to be something we're not. We're called to be something we already are. Be who you already are. Who are you? You are a son or daughter of the King. You are a child of God with a new nature who has been made holy, perfect and pure in his eyes. That doesn't mean God is blind to the sin in our lives, is he? He knows. He knows. But you are holy and righteous before him in Christ through your union by faith with Christ. So live in accordance with who you are. Live in accordance with your new nature that you have been given, with the new power that you have been given in order to please your new master. Your new master is your creator, your God, not the sinful nature anymore that we should live to please it, to please ourselves. So God's command, keep going, keep growing. It says, they had received from them how you ought to walk and to please God. Remember again in the scriptures when it talks about walking, what does it mean to walk? It means a way of life, how you're living your life. Your way of life ought to be oriented toward pleasing God rather than pleasing ourselves, pleasing the sinful nature. Walk to please God. It says, just as you are doing, that you would do so more and more. They were already doing this. They were persevering. They were continuing in the faith. They weren't quitting. They were being obedient. But yet, there was always room for growth, wasn't there? In them, for me, for you, for all of us. So persevere and keep growing. Keep growing in purity and in love. Today, though, purity. So God's command, keep going, keep growing. God's will. What is God's will? You know, that is a question that people often ask. How do I know the will of God? What is God's will for my life? And that's a good question to ask, isn't it? How do we know what God wants for us, what God wants of our lives? A lot of times, though, when people ask that, they might be thinking of a particular question about, well, should I move to this city or that city? Should I take this job or that job? Should I get involved with this ministry or that one? Should I attend this church or another church? We think that's God's will. God, what circumstances, what choices would you have me make in those kinds of things? And I do think God is concerned about those things in our lives, isn't he? But oftentimes when the scripture talks about God's will, it's not questions like that. What is it? It's about the kinds of persons that we are. It's about character. God's will has much more to do with character than circumstances. And also, by the way, if you're trying to figure out, we did a series on this a little while back here, but just a little quick reminder. God's will is not something for you to figure out ahead of time and then do it and hope you made the right decision. God's will is something that you see after you've been obedient to what he clearly has revealed to you in his word. It's not a mystery to get figured out so you make the right choices. It's something that's clearly revealed in here that we live out, then we make wise choices, seeking his wisdom, seeking the counsel of others, and then we look back and we see, oh, that was what God had planned. How many of you have been surprised at what God has done in your life? You thought you knew his will. You thought you were doing the right thing, but no, in reality, you saw God's will afterwards. God's will is a lot more to do with how we're living right here and right now and what's clearly revealed in here than it is some mystery to be figured out there. God's will is who we are in our hearts and our minds and what we do, being obedient to what he's clearly said. So if someone ever asks, what is God's will for me? You know what you can do? Say, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. There's God's will for you. Says it, spells it out right there. Couldn't be any more clear, could it? For this is the will of God. What? Your sanctification. That's God's will for you. If you're a follower of Jesus, that's what he wants for you. Your sanctification. Now, some of you might think, that's a fancy word, sanctification. What is that? Well, that means growth in holiness or character, being the persons he wants us to be. It's about our attitudes. It's about our priorities. It's about the words we speak. It's about the actions. It's about the things we do and the things we don't do. Sanctification is the process of becoming more like Jesus in word, thought, and deed, priorities, values. So that is the will of God for you and for me, your sanctification. You know, when you believe in Jesus, the scripture says you're justified. That is, you're put in right relationship with him. There is a forgiveness of sin. And we are called perfectly holy and righteous in Jesus. That's justification. Then there's sanctification. That's this ongoing process of growing in holiness. But then the day will come when that sanctification is complete and full, when God finishes what he has started in us, and that's called what? Glorification? Made perfect in holiness and righteousness? The body raised, given resurrection glory like the body of Jesus? That's glorification. So right now, though, we're living in that middle phase, your sanctification. So what is the will of God? Your sanctification. And there's that's a whole big topic there. But there's one thing in particular that Paul wants to focus in on here for them and for us. Namely, that you abstain from sexual immorality. Sanctification covers a whole lot of things. But today, right here, right now, that you abstain from sexual immorality. See, the church, these believers that he was writing to, they were in the midst of a heavily pagan environment, surrounded by idolatry and by sexual immorality of all kinds. Does that sound familiar? Being surrounded by immorality of many kinds? And so, God's will was their sanctification, that they would abstain from all these various forms of immorality, of sexual immorality all around them. And so that instead of indulging in that like their pagan neighbors, instead of that, what? That they would abstain from that and each one know how to control his own body in holiness and honor. This is what it's self-control, discipline. Not giving ourselves over in the passions of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. You know, we're called to be different. God's people, well, we are different, so we need to act different, don't we? I find it interesting, he says then, that these Gentiles, these pagans around them who pursue this passionate lust, says what? They do not know God. They do these things because they do not know God. Well, if you are a believer in Jesus, you know God. But knowing God, though, is something we must grow in, isn't it? So I would suggest to you that a powerful antidote to impurity, and I know many of us struggle with impurity, a powerful antidote to that is to know God. To know God. You know, I think a lot of the things that drive our our sinful attitudes and behavior, I think oftentimes they can stem from the fact that we do not know God as we ought to know him. So he says, don't pursue this immorality. Don't be like the pagans who do not know God. And don't transgress and wrong your brother in this matter. I think what he's saying is through these passionate pursuits, then what? That they were transgressing and defrauding one another. They were sleeping around with one another, sleeping with one another's wives. Don't do that and transgress, defraud, and wrong your brother in this matter. So when we sin in this way, we sin against God, yes. We sin against our own bodies. We sin against another person that we're sinning with. And we sin against the others in that person's life. It's a big, ugly group of people that get hurt by our sin, isn't it? So don't hurt one another and defraud one another in that way. So God's command, keep going, keep growing. God's will, your sanctification, and namely here today, purity. Your purity. And last in our text here then, God's warning. God's warning is that he will avenge sin. He will judge sin. It says in verse 6 that God is an avenger in all these things. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit. God is not to be mocked. Seems as there's a passage in Scripture somewhere, I think, isn't there, that says, that warns us against mocking God by pretending that he does not see or doesn't judge. We're warned, God is not mocked. We're told what? What we plant or sow, that is what we will reap, what we will harvest. God sees our sin. God sees the damage that we inflict upon ourselves and others through this, and he will judge it. Now, he will judge that because, well, first of all, because he's a righteous God, a holy God, but he will also judge it because he is a God of love. God judges your sin, God judges my sin because he loves, and he knows what sin does to you, what it does to us. And he's not mocked. And so when we disregard this, we're not disregarding the word of man, we're disregarding God himself. You may get away with disregarding something a person says. Does anyone ever get away with disregarding what God says? No. Now, this can be a pretty heavy thing, and it is here. But I want to end this with what Paul says, that there's a note of encouragement, though, too. See where he says in verse 8, he says, whoever disregards this disregards not man, but God, what? Who gives his Holy Spirit to you. So the Holy Spirit, when you believed in Jesus, God gave you the Holy Spirit as a gift, who came up, who took up residence within you, who indwells you. And he's not just the Spirit of God. He's specifically called what? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives within you. And so the power, the strength, the encouragement to abstain from sexual immorality and to walk in purity comes from where? The Holy Spirit who lives in you. Not your efforts and mine. The ability to do this doesn't come from your will or mine. It comes from God's Holy Spirit who lives in you. The fruit of purity, of righteousness, this is something God produces in you and me by faith through the power of the Holy Spirit. So there is a challenge there for you, for me, for all of us, to pursue holiness. I've told you about this before. I'm going to put it out here again. I like to occasionally make recommendations, little book recommendations here. And this one is something that has been a book that has been very important in my life and has encouraged me. Well, it beat me up, and it still does sometimes, but it also encourages us, though, too. And that's a book. It's called The Pursuit of Holiness by Jerry Bridges. I want to highly recommend that to you. This is a great book on this call here to pursue or grow in holiness, The Pursuit of Holiness by Jerry Bridges. First time I read this, I was about 19 or 20 years old, and I got so depressed reading this. You know what I mean? Just seeing, oh Lord, I have so far to go. But yet, there's encouragement there too, because again, God is faithful, isn't he? And God has given us his Spirit. But we've got to see the truth about ourselves, though, before we can grow past that, can't we? So I was so depressed when I read it, but yet I knew I needed to hear that. By the way, some folks think they should come to church and always get a message that makes them walk out feeling great, feeling good. And I think sometimes we should hear something that makes us feel great and feel good. Sometimes we need to hear something, though, that doesn't make us feel so great or so good, though, don't we? Well, this message, I hope, is actually both, because even in the things that don't make us feel so good, there's wonder at the grace of God, isn't there? So notice, God is gracious, God is merciful, but He's not to be mocked. This is something that can help you a lot. Like I said, the first time it really beat me up. I read it again when I was about 30. It beat me up again. Not quite as badly as when I was 20, but it's still. But you know what? I saw how God had been working in my life. I read it again when I was about 40. I got beat up again, but not as badly as the previous time. And I was actually even more encouraged by seeing how God had worked in my life. I just recently went through it with a couple of young men that I'm working with in discipleship. I got beat up a little bit again. But you know what? I was so thrilled and delighted to see how God has worked in my life over the last 30 years. So what? Follower of Jesus is called to walk in holiness, to walk in purity. So I would challenge us here today then to pursue holiness. When you think that word pursue, what does that mean when you think about it? It's not some whimsical dilly-dally thing, is it? It is a serious, intentional, continuous effort at something. Not in our own strength, but certainly a continuous effort to yield to the Spirit, to pursue holiness. Holiness doesn't just happen by accident. It's a pursuit. Rely on the Holy Spirit. This message today is not a message to beat you up and tell you how you got to just, oh, you're terrible and you need to do better and try harder, harder, harder. No. This is a message that God has called us to the glorious freedom of holiness. And He gives us His Holy Spirit. But we need to obey Him. Right? So thank God then too for His grace. Because you will fail. I have failed. Do I really even need to say that? I think we know that, don't we? All of us. But God is gracious. He's kind. He's merciful. So thank Him for that too. And let's pray. Lord, we are thankful that You are a good God and a gracious God. And You are a holy and righteous God who is not to be mocked or trifled with. You call us to holiness. You call us to purity. Not because You want to spoil our fun, but because You love us, Lord, and You want to protect us. You want to protect us from the abuse, from the pain, from the scandal, and from the destruction that we bring, that sin, any sin, brings into our lives, into our families, into our churches, into society, to our nation. So God, I pray that we would keep building that wall, that we would not neglect the wall, that we would pursue that wall of holiness, that God, the church, that our lives and the church would be salt and light, and would be that we would be ambassadors of Jesus, of hope, that the world would see the light and the purity of Jesus in us and give praise and honor to You. And we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.